From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 797, Azure Communication Services with guest Marianne Noskowski. Recorded Thursday, August 5th, 2021. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brendan. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My guest today is Marianne Noskowski, who is a program manager on the Azure Communication Services team, focusing on building out different developer and Azure experiences. Previous to Azure Communication Services, she worked for the Windows Development Platform at Microsoft, specifically on the Windows Notification Platform. And Marianne loves working on developer platforms and be able to empower developers of all backgrounds and skill sets to build creative solutions. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm glad you're here, too. And it's, you know, there's so much in Azure. I think sometimes you miss things like, it's such a casual name, Azure Communication Services, but this is a big thing.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. And it's become, obviously even more relevant recently, but I think the industry has always been trending this way, and communication platforms as a service or CPaaS offerings have been, growing over time. And then with COVID and pandemic and quarantining and just the need for us to find other ways to connect with customers and connect with our businesses and our loved ones, it came at a really good time. Azure Communication Services came at a really good time here.
I bet.
For people to be able to, take advantage of these offerings.
Everybody's video and audio rig at home has gotten better in the past year and a half. No two ways about that. we've all used it more in the past little while. I was on a call earlier this week talking with some folks, and I said, listen, a couple of years ago, if we were going to ask a developer to stream something they were doing, that was a big deal. Today, most of them are like, oh, I got that right here. Just press the button, off they go. They know the Stream Deck and they have all the equipment and they're ready to stream out anything. It's not a big deal anymore. So what is Azure Communication Services? Is this stuff that Microsoft depends on as well? Or is this for third parties to do their own?
So Azure Communication Services is a new Azure service, went to general availability end of last March. Mm-hmm. So we offer a series of APIs and SDKs that allow you to bring in your own communication offerings to your existing apps and websites.
Interesting.
For example, voice and video calling, chat messaging, even some telephony solutions like sending SMS messages out to customers, mm-hmm. or integrating with traditional PSTN phone calls to receive or place phone calls.
Wow. To actually do POTS line dialing from a cloud implementation, that's messed up. So that's super old school. And I still have landlines at home. That I don't know why I do anymore. It's weird, but... Nah, I totally get that. So, and from an IT perspective, so then I have an ability to govern all of these new implementations that my devs are doing?
Azure Communication Services is based on the same services that power Microsoft Teams. So, you can, one, trust that it is a scalable and reliable solution, because we have, I think Teams just announced 145 million daily active users. So,
wow.
It's been through the ringer a little bit.
Especially the past year and a half. It's been through a lot of ringer.
Exactly. And so you have this set of APIs that give you the ability to customize the experience, to build your own experiences. So I think, a question that we'll probably talk about is, why would I use Azure Communication Services versus Microsoft Teams? And we can get into that more later. But the whole idea behind Azure Communication Services is to give companies and developers and IT workers the ability to bring in these communication solutions in a way that meets their customers' needs and meets their business's needs, because mm-hmm. you have control over these experiences. So we offer a range of different, low-level SDKs that allow you to have really finite control, all the way up through some drag and drop components through our UI library that allow you to kind of just literally drag and drop these voice and video and chat applications into your own websites and applications.
Right. Yeah. It makes total sense to have that gambit of tools available from text messages all the way to live video chat then.
Yeah. And I think, you know, as we're exploring just the needs of, you know, what it means to serve our customers, it's mm-hmm. something that's been really apparent to us and important is, you know two developers are alike. And so some, you know, communication stacks in general take a lot of expertise and time to perfect and to deliver. Having, you know, in some cases, it's the responsibility of the single IT person in a company to bridge this gap and to cover all these roles. And sometimes, you know, you have a full team of communication experts that understand the stack top to bottom. So right. Just providing this range of, you know, capabilities to meet these different customers has been pretty important and quite a journey for us to learn as well what our customers need.
Yeah, no, and an interesting balancing act too. It's just thinking from an architect's perspective, it's like, does it make sense for me to make an add-on to Teams as the app that then has all the communications and stuff built into it with Teams versus taking an existing app and adding communications to it?
Yeah, and that's a question I think we get or people struggle with too is, you know, what makes the most sense? And I think it comes down to understanding what your end users need mm-hmm. And balancing it with what the expectation is of kind of your overall experience. So, for example, if we're talking about a customer that doesn't need a lot of customization, that, you know, all the communication that they're going to be doing is mostly within their organization, mm-hmm. then I think having Teams and have this fully built out software that they can just deploy and use makes a lot of sense, right? And you have all if everyone's in the same organization, you can then rely on, you know, having the licensing and AED. But when we get, and I'm giving a little sneak peek of something we might talk about later, mm-hmm. but with Azure Communication Services, we find that maybe it works best in scenarios where either, you know, you have all these end users that don't have a license, right? That you don't want to pay for an M365 license for.
Right.
You know, maybe you have users that don't want to install an application that you just want to send a link to a video chat and
sure,
say, hey,
yeah.
join this, right? Easily yep. and quickly. And I think also just in terms of pricing, right? Whatever's best for your business, but the Azure, because we're an Azure service, it's so you're not in that licensing model. You're all in the, you know, billing per minute or per message usage. So,
right.
I think, you know, there's a balance and we can talk a little more about Teams interoperability features, which are kind of exciting, which kind of bridge the gap and blur the lines between what is Azure Communication Services and what is Teams. But that's an exciting feature as well.
But I appreciate your point of view here that Teams' strength is working within the organization. You have that directory of people already that's out of AAD. So contact, you know, you don't have to enter any phone numbers or anything. That's not a thing. You pick a name and off you go. But as soon as you go outside the organization, a lot of that gets harder. Like that meaning that maintaining that directory and how you connect to people and the different mediums and what they're willing to do to connect to you. No, you know, I use Teams to make podcasts, but I only use Teams to make podcasts with people who already have Teams. You're not going to ask someone to install and set up mm-hmm. Teams to come on your show. That's not a thing. It's not a small thing to get Teams up and running. There's a bunch of stuff involved. There's no two ways about it.
Right. It's a powerful tool, but you know, it does take a little bit of effort up front versus just clicking a link and joining
right.
A video call. So yeah, no, exactly.
So, I mean, my head goes to, you know, being able to have video chat for tech support with external customers. Like that's a cool feature that you might be able to help people that way. And maybe a screen share. Like, is that all tooling that's available in Azure Communication Services?
Yeah. And I'll talk about a demo that we did at Ignite, last spring. So in 2020, that was when we had our big announce for Azure Communication Services going to preview. But we had this telehealth website. So we'll say like Contoso Medical wants, their users to join through a website or they already have this existing website or web portal. And the customer can go in and the experience that we demonstrated was the customer can, you know, maybe they want to connect to a specific doctor, but they're not really sure which specialist, or maybe they need help finding, you know, someone who's available right then. So mm-hmm. they'll chat with this health bot. So they open up a chat message and they're chatting with a a bot that helps ask some preliminary questions, you know, like any information that it needs to get started, some symptoms, trying to provide some options back to the user to say, you know, click, are you feeling it like in your head or in your neck or where exactly, right? Just get some basic information from the user. And then once the bot runs kind of to the knowledge base, then it escalates that chat to the proper specialist or to the right human to take over from there. And so having the control to, you know, we have on Azure Communication Services, the ability for you to control those messages that are coming back and forth. And so you can route them either to another human being or another user, or you can route them to a bot to help, you know, smooth or automate some of these workflows as well. So it's, I think that pattern of, you know, transitioning from a bot or some administrative over to a specialist is a pretty common pattern that we're seeing as well.
Yeah. And good to do the triage in a sort of low cost efficient way. It also gets people to sort of organize their thinking too. You know, healthcare is certainly one aspect of it, but if you were doing like a warranty call where it's like, hey, you're going to need the serial number, like rather than have a person on the line waiting for that information, to have the bot get them through those initial steps so that by the time they get to a person, if they need a person, they're kind of organized. We have all the key information and maybe we can actually get a replacement done or get you put to the right kind of doctor. So not just the preliminary data, but also a little bit of triage, get you down the right path.
Exactly. And what makes this really interesting and something that I'm excited to talk about is, so let's say, you know, we talked about kind of the difference between Azure Communication Services being this more custom experience and more accessible at the team side of the house, which is within your organization, and you have your setup workflows and your all of your context, right, of your workday existing in that Teams application. Well, if we have a scenario where, you know, maybe in this demo that I talked about, like maybe the doctors and the healthcare workers and specialists are all using Teams for their day-to-day job, right? That's where they keep their files, their calendar, you know, any notifications or Azure Communication Services, Teams interop is what we call Teams interop feature, is we can actually have the customers, the end users who are joining the call via Azure Communication Services clients join to a Teams meeting. So you can keep the healthcare workers in Teams, in the Teams meeting, in their context that they're used to, and we'll also have the end users in their, you know, whatever lightweight experience or custom experience or branding that the company wants the users to see.
So you have a sort of bridge to Teams there to be able to relay that data. Because I'm also thinking in terms of file handling, wiki, like all of that sort of SharePoint backend that exists under Teams.
Yeah.
Being able to still use that because you've got a good infrastructure there as an intake. Both our scenarios are relevant, right? The telehealth, the warranty repair, the tech support, all of those you want to put, be able to push those docs into a sort of standard pattern. And so being able to just add the communications in and feed it directly in so you don't add extra steps. So you don't want anybody transcribing or re-entering stuff into another system.
Exactly. Yeah. So just keeping everyone in the context they're used to and the context that they work most efficiently in is definitely a big win for this Teams interop.
And can we capture the video/audio from those things and make it part of the asset that goes into Teams, into the storage? Like, here's the actual call that led to this, you know, warranty replacement?
So we do offer different diagnostics and telemetry and logging. So are you talking about seeing kind of a call history, for example?
Yeah, I think certainly we want to keep track of the call history, but it'd be kind of nice to have like a transcript of the call or the actual call itself so that, you know, every time I call a tech support, they say, hey, this will be recorded for training purposes. I'm like, that's fine. I wouldn't mind if you just had a recording of this is what was actually said if you want to go back over it later.
So, and transcription is something definitely on our roadmap. We hear a lot of people talk about, you know, that that's kind of the next step or the natural next step for this for Azure Communication Services. You know, if you are from the team side recording or having the transcription going, then it will all be captured within that Teams recording.
So that's all part of it.
That functionality is there. And continuing, I'll mention that if you're joining from the Azure Communication Services client, then you're joining the Teams meeting as a guest. So, you know, you won't access, for example, after you leave the call, but, as far as just, you know, getting connected to a Teams user, it goes a long way and it takes advantage of some of the existing functionalities within Teams.
Okay.
And so when I mentioned the roadmap, call recording and transcription, that's all
on the roadmap.
Either in preview or underway, right, for Azure Communication Services when you're doing just the fully custom app experience.
Sure. No, that's fair. But Teams already has all that stuff, so you can leverage if you're in Teams as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Marianne, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As is brought to you by the SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, December 5th to 10th. You've heard the SQL Q&A shows we publish on Run As twice a year from the conference. That is a microcosm of the 6 days of fantastic learning available to you from the real-world consultants and members of the SQL Server team that speak at the show. Learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as insight into the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance, working in the cloud, and exploring all the new features of the latest version of SQL Server. And if you still have questions by the end of the week, join the conference's closing session and be part of the SQL Q&A show on Run As Radio. The SQL Server and Azure SQL Conference is at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada, December 5th to 10th. Use code RUNAS to get a discount on your registration at msqlconf.com. And we'll see you there. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. This is Marianne Noskowski. We're talking a bit about Azure Communication Services and the idea of basically being able to manage the guest side of Teams. Like, that tickles me, because getting guests in and out of Teams is not a trivial problem. Like, that's a thing. You'd be able to do that easily and add a little more of an interface on that. I'd love to have some customization there. I wonder if I could build a vendor portal that way. That's how my vendors would come into Teams temporarily for certain meetings or tasks and things like that, rather than, you know, just a straight invite system. Like, that's really interesting.
Yeah. And it provides a good, a lightweight experience, right? If you have these vendors that maybe don't need access to the full everything that you're working with, then I think that makes a lot of sense of, hey, we have this, here's our vendor portal. You know, join the Teams meetings, join whatever meetings that we have existing, and then you can kind of keep that boundary there. Or, of course, you can blur the boundary as much as you want.
Yeah.
But if you needed to have a lighter weight experience, I think that makes a lot of sense.
I've certainly worked with folks that have vendor portals, for how they handle orders or certain connections. So to be able to add this piece to it is an interesting add. Like, that definitely matures the offering for a vendor portal, that they do have a way to poke into the video audio communication side of things as well. So,
And I think, some people also say they like it because they can pay. I mean, again, that kind of split billing model. So anyone who's joining from Teams is covered by their license,
right?
That it gone through Teams. And then the guests are charged based on the, consumption rates that
per minute,
typically used for Azure Communication Services. So that per minute. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so very reasonable. But going a totally different direction here, this looks like a tool set for building my own SaaS offering around communications too, for some particular vertical, for whatever reason, where an existing product doesn't make sense.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely have people that are looking at, building out these complex offerings that are maybe somewhat specific. Like, I think in the education sector, there are some specific needs, right? Like, mm-hmm. That differ a little bit from someone in finance, for example, who might have a completely different set of regulations that they need to adhere to. So having the ability to, again, just be custom about and intentional about what features and capabilities you're putting in, it goes a long way.
As soon as you're talking about students, especially underage students, that's a big deal. Like, you want to have very precise control over what you'd be allowed to do there. And mm-hmm. you may or may not be off the shelf offerings for any of that. So it'd be good to be able to make what you need in that particular space. But yeah, I think there's some cool verticals here. But even just being able to automate the use of text messages, like, there are third party libraries I can go and get for this, but there's also an Azure offering for it now.
Yeah. And that's, I think one of my favorite things is just getting the text updates for, hey, your order's ready to pick up.
Yeah.
Or if I'm going to Home Depot or whatever, just saying, like, I drive up, hey, I'm here. Like, okay, great. The order's coming out. That's been so nice. And having the ability to bring some of that efficiency to more people is I'm excited about it personally.
That's a weird little pandemic thing that emerged, right? I like the idea of not having to get out of my car until we have to, until there's something to do. That I pull into the parking lot, I acknowledge I'm there, and they say, okay, your thing is ready, come now. Right? Like, heck, I want that for restaurants too. Tell me when my table is ready. I do not want to stand in the entryway. I just want to walk in and sit down. So I'll stay right here.
Right.
You let me know.
So good.
Yeah. Those are little interfaces, little smoothing points that make software, you know, make your experience so much better. Leverage that device that we all have and be able to do those communications. How well does the POTS SMS side work country to country? Aren't there different rules in each country? Do you guys bridge all of that?
So there are, I'm definitely not the, PSTN expert here, but yeah. I can give kind of a higher level view of, so right now in terms of purchasing phone numbers are available in the US, and we're still working on building out, availability in other countries and regions just mm-hmm. because of all of the, you know, regulations and laws and taxes and things that need to be in consideration, are things that we're just making sure we're super crisp on. So right now phone numbers are available in the US and we're working on expanding other areas of the world.
I remember hearing years ago that Microsoft became a carrier in the US, and maybe that's part of this, right? But it's like you're going to have to do that in each country essentially for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah, and there's so much that goes into, like, I just, you know, I sit in some of these meetings and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so overwhelming. It is not just enabling phone numbers
yeah.
in another country. Like, it is so much work. So I kudos to that whole team.
Yeah. The international aspect of it is stunning, right? Like, just every country's own set of rules. Literally like diplomatic negotiation between countries or how all these things connect together. It's huge.
No, it is pretty incredible, like just how these huge systems work and meet and you know, have to coexist together and like all the different, I don't know, inputs into that system is pretty wild. Like it really blew my mind how big the space is. 'Cause I think it's something I at least definitely underestimated or undervalued, mm-hmm. you know, being somewhat new to the communication space. So it's been pretty exciting for me to learn.
It's really, it's interesting stuff, but isn't it just another one of those sort of bicycle shed kind of problems? Like everyone thinks a restaurant is simple. Do you really learn anything about restaurants? You're like, wow, that's really hard. The fact that telephones work is kind of a miracle. We just take it for granted.
Yeah. It really is.
It's astonishing. And so it's interesting when we think in terms of software for this, but. And if I picking up what you said there, it's like, listen, if you want to do the text message thing, that's a US thing right now. As soon as we start going into the countries, there are restrictions.
Correct. Yeah. So US for now, I mean, that's being actively worked on and we have our public roadmap that has updates on, you know, when things are going to be available. And so we try and keep that up. So coming soon, but not quite available yet.
Sure.
We did just enable our direct routing, and SIP interface, this past July. So it's really new into preview. So I know that's something that people like, will want to take advantage of in terms of, bring your own carrier and being able to connect some of these functionalities together, outside of the geographic limitations.
You know, it occurs to me that you guys bought Skype years ago and they had endpoints in all kinds of countries, right? You were able to dial into POTS network in a lot of countries for absurdly low rates. Microsoft has too many communication offerings. Like this, you know, name a product. There's a dozen of them, but Skype is like Skype these days seems like the old orphan. Like it's kind of a lost product because Teams seems to be the focus these days. If you're going to connect people together.
Yeah. I think, you know, the direction definitely is pushing people towards Teams and mm-hmm. taking advantage of, you know, the larger feature set of, you know, how to improve and run your organization more agile and to take advantage of these other functionalities.
Yeah.
I know the phrase, I always mess it up a little bit, but something like, you know, 2 is greater than 1, which is greater than 0. No, hold on. 1 is greater than 2, which is greater than 0. So, right. Ideally it's best to have one offering, but if you have 2, it's still better than having none. And then you're not actually in that space at all. So.
Well, yeah, and then there's the branding exercises, right? There was Skype, then there was Skype for Business, which I'm pretty sure wasn't Skype at all. And now it's rolled into Teams. And once upon a time, there was unified communications, but I don't know how unified it ever was. You know, the side effect of making a show for 14 years is we've seen all the products.
You've been through it all.
Yeah, been through every version. So yeah, it's been an interesting story arc. And, you know, once upon a time, I made podcasts via Skype. That was a way to work too, but we don't do that. People don't use it that much anymore. It's changed. So, but now I could literally roll my own. I could use Azure Communication Services and make a run as radio communication thing. And you just log into a web page and we'd be there.
Exactly. And we, so I know, like, touched on Skype for Business SDKs. Mm-hmm. That's something that being, retired, we're definitely encouraging people to take advantage of Azure Communication Services as the replacement. We can, you know, as we're tied with Teams and AAD and just Microsoft in general, like, this is the replacement stack that we're recommending people to use.
Because there has been custom apps built against S4B. And they need a home, right? So I guess this is the path forward for them. Is just like, how are you going to be able to move this forward? I don't know how different the APIs are, but, you know, all things are solvable.
Exactly.
And for the most part, it's just per minute billing, like cost wise or per message.
Per minute billing, for messages, both chat and SMS, it's all per message. So, you know, it's pretty easy to get an somewhat accurate estimate of what your rates are going to be or what your bill will be.
Right. And same thing. It's like, you know, and also quickly tell you what's not available in that, in the country that you're looking at too. So you can hit you'll hit those limits as well, but the offering will continue to expand.
Exactly. Yep.
I mentioned screen sharing early. I don't know that you answered necessarily. So can I share screens through ACS?
Yes. Screen sharing is totally available. If you're in a video call or you know, just voice call, you can share your screen. Something that I'd like to talk about is the UI library. So we were talking about like sharing your screen or turning your video on and off or muting and unmuting. All of these controls within a video call are pretty much the same regardless of what platform you're in, right? A video call looks like a video call. So, you know, I mentioned UI library is a way to drag and drop these experiences into your apps or websites. The UI library takes care of those controls that are common, right? That
so
are
selecting easier a camera, selecting a microphone, selecting an audio output. We all have to do it. So, yeah.
Yeah. Regardless of what you are doing, like that, those functions need to happen. So UI library helps optimize for that and takes care of some of those repetitive functionality for you to make it easier to develop these solutions.
I've used a few different services and some of them get clever around stuff like optimizing for video versus optimizing for screen share. I don't know if you get into that. Like, I think there's different compression that it makes a difference on. I've certainly, you know, playing a bunch of them side by side, you can see that different stacks are better at different kinds of video.
Yeah, and a lot of that is handled. So part of what the goal of Azure Communication Services is to encapsulate some of those nitty gritty details into a way that's easy for people to consume. So you don't necessarily have as granular control over, you know, some of those lower level concepts, but we do have services. I mean, right, we're all based on the same services that power Teams. So services that are experienced in figuring out these algorithms to optimize for, you know, latency or, you know, what each connection is like in the world. So a lot of those things are handled on behalf of the user or developer.
That's great. Yeah. And that's the thing is it's a lot of work to build that stuff out, to get all of those settings options and be able to tune it for the kind of thing you're doing. You know, watching a video or watching someone's face is very different from being able to read text on a screen, especially if it's somewhat fine. So you want to be able to tweak it a little to say, that's a screen share and I need it to look like this versus this is video and it could be compressed differently. Only if you know, that's getting down into the weeds on this, but it's certainly a problem space. People want stuff to look good, whatever it may be.
Yeah. And the, I know that balance of, you know, if you want more control and more control of the experience versus I just kind of want something stood up quickly.
Yeah.
Right. And
simple.
Something, I just want something to work.
Yeah. Close
right,
enough.
Is something that we're still, I think building out, right? Like what do customers want? What do they really want? Right.
Yeah.
You might say you want control, but if we handle it for you, then Maybe that's even better. Not, right? Yeah. Or maybe you do want the control, and that's fine too.
Well, I guess you guys are all in the learning space here, where now you're going to look at the requests coming in as people use this thing and say, what's in the features that they're most concerned about? It's still early days for ACS.
Yeah, we're relatively new, and it's so exciting to see people get so excited about the service, and just all the feedback is always like, I don't know, it's really motivating for us to just see like how people are using it, what they're using it for, the feedback that comes in of, you know, I really like it this way or that way, or, you know, can we do this? And like the questions we get from people, sometimes I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even think about how to use it this way. Like that was not even on my radar as a possibility. Like, I don't know. It's exciting.
How often are you pushing new features out at this point? Like, are you in a fast cadence? If someone came up with a really great idea, they'd see it in a month?
Kind of depends. So we have our working backlog and features right. that we're going through, but we are, you know, we're an agile team, we're a service, so we're pushing changes like weekly, basically. Right. So, if we get enough impact or it's a easy enough fix, then yeah, you could see things within a few weeks or a month. It really depends.
Well, that's what excites people about Azure, right? Is they see an issue that's made the top of the stack on the sort of new version of User Voice or whatever tools you're using at the time. And then it appears in the product in relatively short order because it's all cloud deployed. It's not that hard to keep updating it. Mm-hmm. APIs are a little trickier, and we've done shows around how they manage APIs so that things don't break. You really don't want to break existing code.
No, I know. We're definitely, I think, you know, when we were leading up to GA and we had our preview APIs before, and then I think there was kind of a month before GA where everyone was like, okay, like this is serious. We're not changing anything for a long time. You know, like
these are APIs you're going to have to live with. People are going to build against these. You will make them angry if you break them. Are you sure? Are you sure you got what you wanted?
No breaking at people. So it was definitely a wild ride, but it was so fun to like build this service and be part of it from the beginning.
Absolutely. Well, thanks so much for talking about this, Marianne. This is very cool stuff. And it does really let an IT folk and dev sit back and go, what would you do being able to do a screen share or being able to send text messages and so forth as just part of your Azure offering? It's interesting. It gives you another weapon in the toolkit about approaches to improving your software.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what people build and just the creative ways that they're using the service and the platform. So thank you again for having me. This was really exciting. I love talking about it. So thank you.
Awesome. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.